Shalom, Havarim. This is Reverend Sheila Crawford, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. As you are quite aware, Israel is always on the watch for unusual maneuvers from its enemies, and last week, and again this morning, has been no different. With at least two rocket attacks occurring from the Syrian area into the Golan Heights, the farmers were advised to stop work on their orchards. 3 days ago, a squad of four Hezbollah terrorists tried to plant an explosive device in the same area. It was liquidated by the Israeli Air Force and then bombed some military silos containing long-range Scud missiles. Of course, the question is how much will Hezbollah respond, especially with all that's happening with ISIS. A battle with Israel, I would think, is not in their best interest at this time. But crazier things have happened. Nepal's earthquake losses are over 5,000 now and expected to rise. Over here, Baltimore is burning, and the military exercises called Jade Helm 15 is continuing to prepare for a martial law practice in the southern states, scheduled to begin July 15th. The citizens are told, well, they could encounter some intrusive inconveniences as they need to practice. Implemented in the future? This much I can assure you, certainly, before the elections next year, there will be a massive chaotic situation so that martial law can be implemented and President Obama can stay on to further erode our nation. Also, have you checked out why so many Walmart stores are closing in the South? Oh, they say it's for plumbing problems? Then why are the shelves all bare? It's nonsensical, unless they have an agenda. Honey, why don't you tell the listeners who actually owns the Walmart stores, in case they don't know?
The Walton family is the richest family in the U.S. and one of the richest in the world,
yes.
Worth over $144 billion.
Yep.
Who only pay their employees an average of $8 an hour. By the way, Hillary Clinton sat on their board of directors for 6 years till Bill ran for president.
That's right. I forgot about that. And as well, they are closely tied in the Jesuit-controlled Department of Homeland Security. I'm telling you, just Google that for an eyeful. Just put in Jesuit-controlled Department of Homeland Security, and you will be amazed, just amazed. But we have to move on. So let me ask you again. Why are so many Walmarts closing, although they say it's temporary, till the plumbing gets fixed? When they don't even close on the holidays. The rich elite know exactly what's going on. And it's not nice. My thoughts are perhaps they will be used as detention centers. Still others are reporting massive underground base tunnel systems throughout the South. These would then serve as conduits for national defense to rapidly move troops, supplies, and armor throughout the nation between these strategic topographical locations. Look at how true Christians are leaving the military, being told they are not even welcome, especially after answering a lengthy questionnaire, one question being, pertaining to a certain scenario, would they be able to fire on U.S. citizens? I'm concluding that this refers to possibly during martial law. Anyway, there have been spotted hundreds of U.N. trucks. Millions of ammunition is being bought again. More large coffin-like boxes are being stacked and stored in various parts of the country. We are very aware that governments around the world are known to produce false flags to cause chaos, to take away more of our rights. And America is no exception. But thank God we have a Savior that knows all about it and has given us plenty of signs that the trumpet of Revelation 4 is soon to be sounded. Our main calling has always been, and especially now, just to tell as many as we can to get right with Jesus, Use these tepid situations to enlarge God's kingdom. And be sure to tell those who still refuse his invitation what to do when all this really hits the fan. Think of how many tribulation saints there can be if they have the proper knowledge right now beforehand. And now let's ask Father God to bless this program. Dan, would you pray?
Father God, we praise you and glorify your name as we pray for the earthquake victims in Nepal. Help them in every way, and may many come to know you during this affliction. And we pray for those of us who are called by your name, for added strength and courage, stamina, and your extra power of the Holy Spirit to enact a boldness never seen before in your church. We lift up all our families to you for their salvation, encountering a deep spiritual awakening while rebuking the arrows of evil, causing division within our own households. May we redeem this time wisely, applying the armor of your word to protect us, as we are reminded that prophecy must be fulfilled, and that we are to worry for nothing because we trust you, knowing we are totally in your hands. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. That's a good prayer. And we are happy to address your questions, especially concerning the end times. So, honey, will you tell our listeners how they can do that?
Yes, you can send us your questions or comments by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net, or you can call the office and leave a detailed message to 440-834-9006, or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021, and maybe tuck in a love offering, which will automatically put you on the mailing list for future newsletters.
And you can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net. By the way, all the past radio programs and my teaching letters are archived, so you can sign up to receive other timely messages as well.
Also, Shofar Assembly meets this coming Friday, May 1st, at Chester Christian Center, 11815 Chillicothe Road. That's Route 306 in Chesterland, Ohio, at 7 p.m. And what's the topic for May, honey?
Well, the Feast of Pentecost, which is the end of May, May 24th, actually. So we're going to be talking about that with some gold nuggets about the first Pentecost at Mount Sinai. That's, of course, in Exodus 19. So I hope that you all can come out and join us. And now we get to the question of the week. And I'm going to ask my husband to read that for me, would you?
What do you say when telling someone that Jesus says you must be born again, or that Jesus is the only way, and they respond with, I don't believe the Bible's true?
Yeah, really. Okay, well, in that case, you must have a couple proofs that the Bible is true and be ready to respond. In other words, memorize a couple. Now, I have a few that I use and I have memorized, which often makes them curious to know more. I mean, you can't remember everything, but if you can remember just a few, it should make them curious to know more, which at that time, then you can offer to send them, either in the mail or on email or however you want to do it, more proofs, which you'll know where to get them and all that kind of information. Perhaps just a book or an article, which, by the way, there are many out there to choose from. So we do have plenty of proofs, so don't ever say, well, I just have faith, or I just feel it's true. You might instead say, as in my case, well, you know, I wasn't always sure either of the Bible. In fact, as a Catholic, I was told that not all of the Bible was true. So I decided to find out for myself by looking at the evidence. And could I just share a few things that really opened my eyes? You see, I believe it's always good to get their permission first. And remember, this is only for those who doubt the Bible's complete validity. You want to keep it simple and certainly convey the fact that God made us to have fellowship with Him. but it is our choice, which is why God gave us a free will. And we really are here to make the choice of where we want to spend eternity. And then go on and just explain to them that God for a while communicated directly to his righteous ones, like Adam, Enoch, Noah, Abraham. And finally, he told Moses to start writing a book for future generations. And that kind of makes sense, because even though they did live hundreds of years at that time, word of mouth wasn't so difficult. But today, that would only go so far. And so God inspired Moses to write exactly what he told them, even letter by letter, all the history, starting with creation, as well as future predictions for his people. And later, others would be Holy Spirit inspired to write as well. Basically, there are three major ways to prove the Bible came directly from God. Of course, this was through inspiration to man. There's actually hands-down evidence, okay? Three of them: prophecy, archaeological proofs, and science and medical confirmation. Prophecy, of course, is things written about way before they happened. Lots of that in there. Then the archaeological proofs is evidence of the people and actual places written about in Scripture. And this, of course, is due to hundreds of objects that have been discovered, some even with literal inscriptions on them, and actual sites that have been dug up much later than when they were written about, that confirm the accuracy of statements described in the Word of God. So we have prophecy, archaeological proofs. Oh, and I also wanted to mention, too, that in northern Israel, there was found a fragment of stone inscription that clearly refers to the house of David and identifies David as the king of Israel. And a stone inscription was found in Egypt, which confirms that Israel was established as a nation in Canaan centuries before the reign of King David, just like the Bible claims. Now remember, just try to memorize two or three of these facts so you can always have them at the tip of your tongue. And now, myself being in the medical profession, here's my favorite topic: science and medical confirmation. Things written down way before that particular knowledge came into being, and there are actually hundreds of scientific statements in the Bible, and never has even one of them been disproved. Not one. Let's start way back in Genesis 2, verse 7. Moses writes that God formed man from the dust of the earth. Well, we now know, since NASA did an analysis of the human body, that the same elements that are in the dirt of the ground match the elements in us. Wow. We also did not know that huge currents run like deep rivers far beneath the surface of the oceans. And they actually run opposite, one above the other. This provides to the north of the earth and is essential to refreshing the otherwise stagnant waters, constituting an essential part of the life system of our planet. But you know what? King David knew, and he wrote about it like 1,000 years before Christ came in Psalms 8, verse 8, when he refers to how the fish of the sea swim through the paths of the seas. How could he have known that but for God? They didn't have scuba diving equipment. Job 2 in chapter 38, verse 16, he speaks of the deep springs of water at the bottom of the sea. Only within the last 100 years have we discovered numerous huge springs of water, fresh water, pouring out of the ocean floor. And in verse 30 of chapter 38, Job says, "The waters harden like stone, and the surface of the deep is frozen." Well, he's describing the Arctic ice caps. Again, how could a man living in Saudi Arabia in ancient times know that? had to be God. And remember Columbus? Everyone told him he was crazy when he disagreed with the scientists of his day who insisted the earth was flat. But then, most say he was originally Jewish before converting to Catholicism, which they were made to do. And he knew that the Bible said the earth was a circle. You can check that out in Isaiah 40, verse 22. And I love this. In Revelation 16:21, John says that part of the earth's judgment during the tribulation will be these 100-pound balls of hail falling from the sky. 100 pounds! Whew! Well, in Job 38:22, thousands of years before Revelation was written, God asked Job if he has ever seen the treasury of hail that he has reserved for the time of trouble, which is an idiom for the tribulation. Wow. Talk about stoning. Now more specifically on the medical side, where God gave the Hebrews 613 specific suggestions on how to live and function within the normal limitations of natural law. They really needed these laws since Moses and the Israelites came out of a very unclean Egypt, where they practiced some pretty awful and certainly unsanitary customs. So naturally, when they left Egypt, they needed definite guidance just to keep healthy. You know, the reason the men and the boys shaved their heads was because of lice. Yeah. Toilets were clay pots filled with sand. But God told the Israelites to go out a ways, taking a small implement like a shovel, and bury all excrements. Archaeologists have found some papyrus, and these were medical scrolls, from the area around Egypt dating back to 1500 BC that included 700 how-to cures. You know, how to cure this, how to cure that. And mostly we're using herbs. But, and this is crazy, approximately 300 of these how-to cures contained animal and human dung in their remedies. I know that's shocking, since we know E. coli is a major germ found in many infections. The mortality rate just had to be dreadful. And by the way, it was. But God told the Israelites in their Torah, which is, of course, the first five books of the Bible penned by Moses, but totally inspired by God alone, that if they turned from their sins and followed his specific instructions with detailed sanitation procedures, that none of the terrible diseases of Egypt would affect them. Wow. You know, I did not realize till recently that we ourselves did not discover germs until about 130 years ago. Really, we here in America did not know that invisible and deadly microscopic germs could exist and even travel through the air, as well as be transferred on eating and cooking utensils and certainly medical implements. But Moses wrote about it. And that's why till the 20th century, the same doctor would perform an autopsy in one room and proceed to the next room to deliver a baby and not even wash his hands in between. Yuck! God in his word 3,500 years ago in Leviticus 11 told Moses to write down that all metal pots and utensils be scoured and rinsed under running water, not stagnant water, while discarding all cracked pottery. Well, now we know that microscopic germs can embed in the cracks that could be very harmful if ingested. The same rules apply to all booty taken from the enemy. He also taught them about quarantine laws that, by the way, we did not know about until the 1900s. in order to avoid the spreading of germs, as in the case of Miriam's leprosy. Remember Moses' sister? She had to stay outside the camp for an extra 7 days, even after her sores were gone, to be sure of no contamination to others. The Gentiles did not know that till the 20th century. They should have read Leviticus. Another rule was when a man dies in their tent, everything must be purified, including all vessels, with the ashes of a red heifer. I know, sounds crazy again, but they used it in the temple to cleanse their sacrificial implements and containers because, you know, they had a lot of blood to clean up. Which sounds crazy, and yet today we know that these ashes now from a red heifer contains a form of lye, L-Y-E, that kills bacteria. You know, many plagues could have been halted, and even my grandparents' day, if biblical principles had been followed. The next one is probably the easiest to remember, and it's about the law of circumcision. God told Moses to circumcise all baby boys at 8 days old. Not only was it a sign of God's covenant, we now know that circumcision is more sanitary and that the biggest spread of AIDS is among uncircumcised males in the third world countries. Okay, so we get that. But why did he say specifically on the eighth day? Well, blood clotting is at its highest in newborns on the eighth day due to the higher levels of vitamin K and prothrombin that rise to its peak on the eighth day, thus diminishing the chance of infection or excessive bleeding. And then it will decrease continually to a stabilized point. Now, today they just give him a shot of vitamin K, and that's why you don't have to wait 8 days. But they certainly didn't do that then, and Moses would never have known this, but for God. So let me ask you again, who wrote the Bible? Mere man? I don't think so. How could any thinking person deny the Bible's supernaturalism? There is no other book in any of the world's religions that contains scientific truth. In fact, they contain statements that are clearly unscientific. Faith in Christ is not blind, but a faith based on established evidence. In Leviticus 17:11, doesn't God say that life is in the blood? He does. Only 140 years ago did we find out the importance of that statement. Your heart pumps 1.5 million gallons of blood every year. 40 million pumps in a lifetime to feed 6 trillion cells, along with 75,000 miles of veins, blood vessels, capillaries, and arteries in your body. Could this all happen by chance? No way. David says in Psalm 139 that we are wondrously made, and now with the discovery of DNA, it proves just that. Yes, just the very tiniest of a cell in your body denotes everything about you, and why many scientists are now having to reject evolution, which, by the way, even Darwin before his death admitted was only a theory with many missing links. Oh, I hear the music. We must leave. Let me leave you with the ironic blessing, and if you don't know Jesus, don't wait another minute. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, my friends. Till next time, Sha'alu, Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. See you next week.
Thanks for spending your hour with Sheila Crawford and the Shofar Ministries broadcast on AM 1220 The Word. If you would like to help keep the show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click on the donate button on the left-hand side of the page, and it'll take you to PayPal's secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments you have about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries, right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program is sponsored by Shofar Ministries.